Hugh Hefner, a true American icon, created an empire that was unrivaled.
Although some of us bunnies may have gone rogue, it's because of the love and respect that we received from the man behind it all.
Because after all, we did learn from the best.
Relive the stories from the most prominent celebrity home in history.
What happens in the grotto stays in the grotto.
From those of us that lived it,
the employees that worked it,
and the guests who loved it.
And
the mayhem continues.
Today is going to be a fun show as we're actually streaming all the way to freaking Florida. Oh my God, I can't believe that freaking view in the background. We have Audra Lynn, Miss October 2003. What up, girl?
Hey.
You chilling on your yacht?
I am. It's a beautiful day and my parents Hard are watching life. Our daughter, so we have some freedom.
That's so cool. Well, it's been a while. I know you and I got to do a little bit of an interview about a year ago. We'll touch on that a lot later, but what have you been up to?
I have been working my business. I have a skincare business for dogs called Famous Skincare for Dogs, and it's great for people too. It's what I use on my hair. So I've been busy with that. And then in my spare time, I work with human trafficking.
Wow.
Yeah, we want to hear a lot about that. Are we going to talk about that right away? But
yeah, I think we should.
It's like dying to know.
Well, we want to get into the human trafficking stuff, of course, and we're going to go deep down that rabbit hole. But yeah. The skincare stuff, how did you get into that?
I was breeding Chinese Cresteds, and I show the AKC, and I had a lot of top dogs, and sometimes they would end up with skin issues. And with their skin being so exposed and being in the show ring, you can't have that. So I started making different products up with essential oils and all natural ingredients. And I decided to try to help my friends out. And before I knew it, it was selling off the shelves. And now it's been a multi-million-dollar business. And it's been amazing.
That's amazing.
It feels great to be able to help animals because so many vets don't understand the skincare part of it. And so I'm able to help a lot of dogs that would sometimes have to be put down because their skin was so bad that they were suffering. And so it makes me feel really good that I can do something wonderful for animals. And it's not just for dogs. I have bird clients. I have pig clients and show cats, all kinds of weird stuff.
You know, it's funny because I'm flashing back like to the 80s. I'm kidding. I am older and I've always had long hair, but I remember there was some stages where you can't get your hair to grow. Did you ever hear of mane? And this
tail.
Isn't an advertisement for them, but mane and tail,
yep.
That's the horse shampoo.
Yeah.
That was the big secret. Everybody would ask like, how the hell is your hair growing? And we were using horse shampoo.
Wait, so if I use this shampoo, my hair will grow?
Yes.
Mane and tail.
Mane and tail. You can find it. Now you can find it at any supermarket. Before, you had to go to like a stable.
No, I want to use hers.
I created what's called the growth shampoo and conditioner. And the growth shampoo and conditioner has been amazing for people that have gone through cancer or they have an autoimmune disease. And so their hair has been thinning. After COVID, okay. I lost a ton of hair. And then my biggest client is down in Naples, and she had tried every medication you can imagine and two stem cell treatments, and nothing touched it. And I saw her at a nail salon, and I'm like, here, take this, try it, and tell me what you think. And it grew all of her hair back, and she was absolutely amazed.
So, wow. New customer. We'll talk after this. I'm like, oh, where's all my hair?
I used to have friends that would ask, you know, if you use some animal products on yourself, like, do you start getting attributes of the animal himself, you know?
Yeah.
I never neighed. Never neighed. So we're going to go down that rabbit hole. Audra, we're going to go down the rabbit hole. I don't think we should hold it back. Because I think what you're doing is amazing.
Get to the good stuff.
I've been following you on Facebook for a long time. You know, we're friends. We've talked off from the page, like one-on-one. And you know some really dark secrets about this Hollywood world that we live in. And beyond the country, throughout the entire world of human trafficking. How did you even get involved in that?
I mean, it kind of touches close to home in the way that when I wasn't at the Playboy Mansion was my safe haven. And I think that almost all of us playmates have some kind of story that after we weren't protected by those walls of the Playboy Mansion, that we had some bad stuff or potential bad stuff come our way. And unfortunately, I was one of them. anybody that's struggling and can't get out of a situation, I want to be able to help them. And so that's why I decided to start volunteering and helping as many people get free as possible. It's just, it's a seedy, dark world, and it goes so far beyond what people think of human trafficking. And especially, you know, the United States is the number one in human trafficking.
That's shocking. I don't think most people realize that.
Nobody wants to realize it. That's why.
Yeah. People don't want to believe that something that awful could be happening, like right in our own town, you know?
Right. I have so many people that argue with me on Facebook, and it's like, I deal with this every single day. I deal with it with FBI agents. I deal with it with Homeland Security, doctors, nurses. They're all telling me the same stories. Like, this isn't made up. And it's crazy to me to hear so many people fight against me on this. And it makes me wonder, are you complacent or are you part of it?
Right. Like, are you? Yeah.
You know that movie came out, Sound of Freedom? Remember that movie? I don't know if you guys saw it. But then immediately right after Sound of Freedom, a lot of theaters were trying to stop it from even being played. You'd hear all these stories about, oh, wow, all of a sudden the air conditioning went out. Or, oh, I'm sorry, something happened with our, or whatever it is that projects the film. And there was all these excuses. You never hear about this on any other film. And then after that, then it was like, oh, it's conspiracy theory. Yet you actually are part of seeing what's really going on. You're helping these kids.
Right, right. With our open border, it's been a cesspool. We're finding women that are being taken over into our country, and they're carrying drugs inside them. And they're not doing it to just women. They're doing it to children. It's a huge, huge problem. I mean, It seems like every kind of area of the country has its own like horror stories and its own. There's so many different groups that are involved in this. And see, like when you're selling like drugs or, you know, things like that, that's a one-time use. When you have a child or a woman, you have between like 8 to 12 different times they can sell that child that day. And so it's money that's just raking in and in and in. And there's more than 50 million people that are enslaved today in some kind of form of
50
slavery.
50 million.
20 million are strictly sex. And then there's all the laboring and other trafficking that's happening around the world as well. And with children, I mean, we have a huge epidemic with children, and nobody's talking about it, is that 460,000 children go missing every single year. That's a year. That's 2,300 kids, I think it is. Something like that, a day.
In the United States?
In the United States.
Wow. That's a big number.
That's insane.
And you don't hear it on the news.
You know, a lot of the inner city and less fortunate people in the United States, they have this happen. And unfortunately, a lot of people, nobody cares. Nobody cares that their kid got stolen. Nobody's going to do anything about it. The authorities aren't going to do anything about it. And it's really sad. Another thing is that people sell their children. And I know that's really hard to hear, but they sell their children at a young age. And I keep hearing it over and over again from my trafficked victims that the common age is age 6, that their parent traffics them. And it's 46% of the people that traffic their children are their mothers. And as a mother myself, like I can't imagine who would do that to their own child.
How do you think it is that these parents, just this demographic that's just the parents that are trafficking their children, how are they reaching the traffickers? That's number one. And why is it so hard to reach for us or the government or people that are trying to help you? Why is it so hard to reach those people? You know what I mean? Like how is it that it's so hard to infiltrate this system that's happening?
You know, that's really good points, Audra. We want to hit on that. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You are listening to Rogue Bunnies Mayhem. You know, Victoria just asked a few questions right before we went to break, but before we get to those questions, can we circle back? I can't believe I just used that freaking term. I hate that freaking term. Can we go backwards to where you were saying how the Playboy Mansion was actually your safe haven?
Yeah, the Playboy Mansion was amazing. I mean, as you know, if we had any issues with any guy or anybody bothering us, Hef would take care of it.
Well, when you say take care of it, what do you mean by that? Clarify, like, because it's not the mafia, like, not that kind of take care of.
Breaking kneecaps. Yeah, sure.
Can you take care of this?
Oh, good. Let's start that over again, you guys.
I just want to be a little more clear.
No, but you were saying it was a safe haven for you. You know, I think it also ties into, like, you know, the 9 o'clock curfew rules also played a part of it. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
We knew from what security would tell us is the boss had a lot of rules in place to make sure he protected you girls.
Yeah.
Right. I know that a lot of the girls have been upset by the 9 o'clock curfew, but I look at it in Hef's perspective. So Hef knew what kind of monsters were out in L.A. He knew what happens in this world. I mean, we used to have some of the files from the police station on, like, murder crimes and stuff like that. And he was fascinated by that, but he knew what kind of evil lurked out there. And so by having a curfew and making sure that his girlfriends were safe at 9 o'clock and that they weren't out, you know, getting drugged and getting taken or kidnapped. I mean, Hef was on the list for being one of the top 10 targeted people for being kidnapped. And so, you know, when he went out to the restaurants, he would have his own food that would be taken there and a chef would cook there and everything else. And I think it was all about safety. He knew what this world was about. And, you know, if anybody that was even his closest friend would hit on us girls, he would pull them aside and he would talk about it and say, hey, that makes them uncomfortable. If they, yeah, didn't listen to him.
He did not like his friends hitting on
him. He would kick him out. So he didn't tolerate any of that stuff with us. And we always had a say. I mean, even when we worked the promotions and stuff like that, if somebody tried to grab our bunny tail, they were out of there, you know, and we could protect ourselves. And I remember one guy, I was working at an event and he went like this, like he was going to grab my boobs. And I took him and I didn't really mean to. I meant to, like, you know, kind of toss him off to the edge, but he ended up falling on the table and the table, like, crashed. And I remember Pat Lacey being like, you go, girl. Like, you know? It was okay. The customer wasn't always right. You know, like, we were taught in business. Like, he wanted us to protect ourselves and he wanted to protect us. So, I mean, I can't thank him enough for that, especially, you know, I ran into a bad situation. And I talked to Holly about it, and Holly went to Hef, and I was able to move into the Playboy Mansion and stay there for about a year at that point. And it was
Can you go a little deep dive on what the situation was, or are you comfortable with that?
Not really.
No, it's cool. It's cool. But the fact is that you knew that you had a place, and Hefner was willing to help out any way he can.
Yeah.
So that's cool. You know, it's funny you mentioned about the parties, because I knew that security and as well as all the management staff and the butler staff, and we all knew to always watch out for you ladies. You know, when people hear that, I think people misconstrue, because when I've mentioned that in multiple different interviews and stuff, you know what I mean? Yeah, we'd look out for this one, or we'd look out for that one, or I'd mention an age and I go, well, you know, she's kind of, yeah. When I'm mentioning those things, I'm saying, you know, your age development, you might not realize what really lurks around you. Maybe you haven't been in the world yet. You don't realize that this guy is saying these nice so-called things to you at a party that you just met, promising all these things, and they could be some really, you know, dangerous persons. So I think when we're trying to convey to others out there, as the mansion was always looking out for the girls, not only as possibly who's lurking around, but if a physical attack were to happen, like which happened to you, security, butlers, anybody would be on them in 2 seconds and they'd be kicked right out. It wasn't a free-for-all. It wasn't like, hey, all these girls are here and you get to do whatever the hell you want. This wasn't like part of like some, like, you know, sexual den where people were like just selling themselves and you guess what? You're in the party. You have to do this. That's not what happened.
Right.
You know, and it sucks, Audra. I mean, maybe you can, from your perspective, you know, you and I went and did an interview one time on a show with our good friend Echo Johnson, right?
Yeah.
And we got a lot of crap from that. You know why? Mm-hmm. Because we were defending a man that we actually knew and how his actions couldn't have been, this so-called Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Everyone keeps, well, you don't know what happened behind the doors, or you don't know blah, blah, blah. And he goes, no one's that damn good of an actor.
I heard that interview and y'all did great.
You know, if they're such a freaking monster, right, Jen? I mean, you will see. I mean, we've all known people that are actually creeps. Mm-hmm. Their personality comes out.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, you know, when we're defending or saying, look, that's not the guy that we knew, you know, that's what we're trying to tell people.
Right.
I think what went on in his bedroom was what he wanted to happen. And it was all consensual and everything. But I think that's where the crux of everything lies, is that what happened there doesn't sit well with people anymore. And I think that's the regret that's bubbling up.
I 1,000,000% agree with that. And, you know, we have to look at how we've evolved as a society, right? So Think about, Hef was 80 some years old. And so if you think about like his different morals and values and how he saw the world was differently than how we saw the world in the 2000s. Okay. It was cool to date people a lot older. I, you know, dated a guy that was a lot older, a couple of guys that were a lot older. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that now society has changed to where that's not okay anymore. But it was back then. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
We've said that before about using a broad brushstroke of Hef's life, of what he did in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and so on. Every decade, what society was acceptable and society was different every decade, so to speak. So if you're using the same brush to do the 2000s as you did with the 70s, you're going to have some discrepancies there, right? You're going to have some problems because it's just not acceptable to whatever video record people or whatever it is that, you know, that at the time people were into. Right. So it's I think people have to take that into account, and things are, so many things are taken out of context that fit a narrative that he's just a dirty old man. Well, that's a low hanging fruit. And it's so easy to kind of put him in that box, and then everything kind of else kind of fits in there. So the general public, it's just, you know, having more awareness about so many of us who've had this great relationship with Playboy, with Hef, with the mansion, with the Playmates, with the inner circle and everything. It's really important that we keep telling our story and our truth to shed just more light on the situation.
Right. Part of the situation that I got myself stuck into, I also look at, like, it was kind of my fault, being naive and just trapped in a situation where, like, I thought everything was innocent and fine, and it wasn't. And so looking back now, it's like I take all the bad with all the good, and I wouldn't be where I am today if that didn't happen. And I wish that people could look at it in a different light, in a positive light, that yes, we may have gone through some trials. And I know that Holly feels like she went through some trials, right? But like, look at the life that she has now. It's so beautiful. And she has a beautiful family. She has a beautiful house. She has so much going on for her. And, you know, if she felt like the mansion was toxic, I wish that she would have come to me, because I was one of her closest friends. And I wish that she would have said something. And she was free to go at any point and any time that she wanted to go. She was never held prisoner there.
But she left and came back. That's what's hard for me, is, and same with other girlfriends that left and came back. But like, I think that about her, that her life, like particularly Holly, one of the things that bothers me about Holly the most, and I've been not trying to be as verbal about Holly, but since you're friends with her, and I was really good friends with her, so I thought, is that we all liked Holly, me included. I thought we were really good.
She's the godmother of your child.
I thought she was the coolest.
Her and Hef were the godparents of my child. And, you know, she was there for Therese for her birthdays. And like, she was a part of my child's life. And then that, of course, ended. I felt my relationship to her, forget about Hef, is that I feel used. And I think a lot of other people that are close to Hef also have said that they also feel used, because we really did like her. And I championed for her a lot, you know, with Mary and everybody else. Like, she's great, she's great, she's great. She cares about Hef. So I was definitely in Mary's ear to talk to, she's in Hef's ear, that Holly's so great. And yeah, that's what bothers me the most.
Audra, you're amazing. I really commend everything that you're doing. You're helping all these children out there. We want to get deeper into that. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. You are listening to Rogue Buddies Mayhem. So Audra, right where we were taking our break, we were talking off air about a lot of the stats. And can you share that with the audience? Tell us the stats and more about what you're doing to help these kids.
Yeah, absolutely. So the United States, unfortunately, is number one in human trafficking. And so I know a lot of times we think that this isn't a home problem, that we think that this happens in third world countries and everything like that, which it does. But we are leading in sex trafficking. There's about 50 million people that are sex trafficked worldwide, and 460,000 kids go missing each year. And some of the recent stats are saying as high as 2,300 are going missing a day.
That's incredible.
In the world.
And does that have anything to do with the borders being open? Is that why that number's so high for the United States? Because so many people are coming in over the border with children?
Well, so it's been high for a long time, even with the border not being like it is today. But the intensity of crimes that we're seeing are off the charts. What they've been doing to these children, a lot of times they use the children until they can't be used anymore. They organ harvest the children. That's all happening at our border, unfortunately. They're using children to transport drugs. We're finding that children are coming with numbers written on their skin.
I've actually seen videos on that. Yeah.
What is that?
Like addresses and numbers and stuff. That apparently the border guards are like seeing these numbers, and they'll call them, and like, I guess it was a news report on that, and they were saying, did you check into where those places are? And all they do is call and say, yeah, do you know of someone coming? Oh yeah, we do. And that's about it.
Right.
I mean, you don't know that kid's going right there to be trafficked.
Absolutely.
That's
and
sick.
That's a whole another rabbit hole and another show that we should do together, because there's so much I could talk about on that topic. But it's really sad. And even when people try to stop this and do bring it to their attention, and it seems like they can only get so far, and there's being no dent made in this. And it's really disturbing.
Oh.
It's when we do make big busts, like Jeffrey Epstein, for example, where are the perpetrators? Where are those names? So there's enough evidence that things should be rolling and things should be happening, but they're not.
What do we do? Like the average citizen, like we want to make a difference. I know we reached out to Dr. Lois Lee, you know, Children of the Night, which we're very proud that the boss helped start, you know, getting these young girls off the streets. And a lot of people don't know that part. And that's why we want to share that. But to go even further, all these other organizations, like the ones you're helping out, you're going to start your own. What do we do? I mean, it's obvious the government isn't taking it, you know, to the next level where they should. This should be the shit that should be on the news all the freaking time.
Yeah, it really should.
People should be an uproar.
Maybe it should be like the COVID counter on how many missing children, you know. And there's big areas where Ohio had hundreds of kids just missing within a couple weeks' time, and yet nobody's looking into this. The biggest thing that we can do is educate ourselves. And so, you know, learning these stats and learning that the stereotypical, you know, when we went to school, we were taught that, you know, it's stranger danger. It's not stranger danger. It's usually somebody that you know, knowing that it's not just pimps that are out there that are trafficking these women, that 92% are male, 63% are white, 18% are black. 66% of these perpetrators have never had a prior conviction on anything. They're usually the pillars of your community that are your teachers, it can be your doctor, it can be your people that are in the court system. And the worst epidemic that we're having is with the foster care system. And how many kids go missing from the foster care system each year? That should never happen. How do we not have our eyes on these children and make sure that they're safe? The whole reason for having that organization is to try to keep kids safe. Instead, you take them from their parents and then they go missing. And so many, like the statistics, I believe, are around 60% within the first 5 days of having them in the social care system has been, they've been perpetrated on within a week's time. That's a high percentage. You know, there's different organizations that you can look up, safehouseproject.org, where you can check out your state and the statistics in your state. Untraffic.org is a really great one as well, where you can actually take a course on what to look for and how to let other people in your community know the signs, so we can look for this and we can be active in it, because we're the ones that are going to have to be active in it. It's in every community.
Yeah,
it's
everybody needs to have their eyes open. Can you share any of those tips or like what to look out for or kind of?
Yeah. So a lot of things, you know, look for children that are looking malnourished, visible signs of abuse, bruising, things like that. Odd behavior. If a kid tells you a story and it sounds like it's not believable, step back and really like think and process what that kid just told you, because kids don't, they're not prone to lie. They're not prone to make up these like crazy elaborate stories. And so many of these kids end up getting missed in the system because they don't believe them, or they have speech impediments, or they're autistic, or you have to listen to your kids. And one of the craziest stories was a playmate sister of ours. Her child started acting out and started acting completely different than what they normally do. And I said, those are kind of some red flags. And she started telling me more. And I started asking about the teachers that were in his life. And I said, I think that this one particular teacher is a pedophile. And I kid you not, it was either the next day or the day after that she called me and she goes, Audra, there was a bust in the school. You know, just really pay attention to your kids. You know, that's the biggest thing, because, I mean, even in high school, I had a guy that was perpetrating on me. He was calling my home. He was telling me things he wanted to do to me in gym class. Like, it was horrific. And I was too embarrassed to say anything to my parents at the time. And that's where we need to have a line of communication with our kids. And, you know, it's a really difficult thing to have a conversation about. And I know that a lot of people don't want to ruin the fairy tale child upbringing of their kids, but you have to have these conversations with your kids to keep them safe.
Right.
And the world is a dangerous place. We need to have an open dialogue with our children is one of the biggest keys.
Right. And understanding what's appropriate and what's not appropriate, and being able to have them feel comfortable enough to come to you. I always had a close relationship with my mother. I learned about sex and where babies came from like very, very early on. She was very, very paranoid that something would happen to me. You know, of course, mothers do. But I knew a lot, and I was very aware, and I had friends that were being abused by their fathers. It's just amazing. Even teacher, I had a teacher that I, in third grade, he molested all the little girls, but not me. I don't know if it was because I was aware or whatever, but I think it's really important for little girls, especially, to understand that how adults, you know, the space that adults need to be respectful of.
Yeah.
We're going to wrap this show up. But again, for the listeners that are listening to this show, where could people reach out again to help make a difference?
Yeah. So there's a couple of numbers. The National Human Trafficking Hotline is 888-373-7888. There's an organization called Rescue America. If you are stuck in a trafficking situation and you don't know how to get out, they're ones that can help get you into safe houses and get you off the street, and they can do it in an emergency situation. And their number is 833-599-FREE. And then I'm also opening my own organization called God Wins Today. We're on Facebook right now. I have a website, and soon all the lawyer documentation will be put together and we'll be open.
Audra, that's amazing. We're gonna come back and make sure once you're set up that we'll revisit and make sure to get the word out again.
We need to do an event to where we actually make an awareness of your organization.
That'd be great.
That would be great. Let's call Lois.
I know this is a somber way to end this show, but you know, it's serious.
Needs to be said. It needs to be said. Stuff like this needs to be.
We said we wanted to do the show and put out truth. So you want truth, people? This shit's happening. And you know, There you go.
And another thing too is to show kindness and love to others, because a lot of these people that may show weird behavior or may seem mentally ill have been through abuse as a child, and it was never caught, and they've lived this horror their entire life. And you don't know what those people are going through that you meet on a daily basis. So just be kind and be patient and nice to others and show love, because you don't know what their story and what they've had to walk through.
God bless you, Audra. You rock. We are Rogue Bunnies Mayhem. Hey, Mayhem Familia. Don't forget to click, like, and subscribe. And tell all your friends.
Also, visit us at rbmayhemshow.com. That's rbmayhemshow.com.
And I want to give a special thanks to Dapper Labs, Flow, Gig Labs, and also Flow Score. And
the Mayhem continues!